folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival, and I am sitting in today from Melody Seastrom. She'll be joining us in the next segment, by the way. And the first segment on Wednesdays, you know, we always have Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. We're going to bring up in a few minutes and let her share her information for today, which is always very timely and very important. But as usual, we'll start with the metals and the market reports. I actually had a decent day with gold and silver. Gold was up a little bit today, 680 to 1779. Silver actually had a gain of 11 cents, 22.14. Platinum was down a buck, 9.27. Palladium was down 29, 1685. That's all I got there. Okay, excuse me, that's all I had on that. And the markets were, in this country, positive today. Dow was up 328 to 35,872. S&P up 62 to 46,96. NASDAQ up 271 to 15,509. The foreign markets were mixed. Not much either way. Minus or plus. Just a mixed bag. And oil was up 83 cents to 71.56. So, overall, markets held steady in the foreign markets. Our markets are up a pretty good punch today. And gold and silver had a plus day. So that's always good to hear, too. Our guest today, as always, on Wednesday, Wendy Wilson. And she's going to share some information today, folks, that I know all of you always enjoy. So, Wendy, welcome.
Well, thank you, Pastor Butch. Always great to be with you.
Good to have you, honey. Good to have you.
Yeah. Well, we have some things that, you know, we probably need to express or share with people to empower them, help them to be more proactive and protected as with regards to health. So we're going to talk about why women are going to be at a higher risk of side effects. And side effects, as you know, is what the term they use when you take a prescription medication. So there was this article, Pastor Butch, in August 2020. It was done by the University of California at Berkeley and the University of Chicago. They did some research, and their research did get published. We'll get to that in a minute. But they were looking at females, why they're more likely to have drug side effects compared to males, and why they would be considered over-medicated compared to men. So I was wondering, well, is this because, you know, women are more vulnerable, or is it because they're the weaker vessel, as the Bible describes, or is it because the female body is not equipped to handle prescription drug therapy? So I wanted to find out, so I thought we'd dig into that. So you've heard the term cookie cutter medicine, and that's exactly what we have here. One of the reasons the report stated women are at higher risk than men taking prescribed medications is that the human drug trials often have male participants in them. So the drug doses are standardized based on the male metabolism and not the female metabolism. So the same problem exists when drug companies establish vaccine doses with their human trials. Usually the doses are not for infants and toddlers, but for adults. So the drug companies simply make kind of an educated guess on anything based on a hypothesis with regard to doses for children. Here's a quote from the article. They say women are more likely than men to suffer adverse side effects of medications because drug companies are historically basing their clinical trials on the conducted studies on men. So when we look at the data...
I've got to say this. Isn't that kind of dangerous, especially for children?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I agree. Wow. You know, common sense would say so, right? But we're in an age where that doesn't seem to factor in anymore. the data in their article, the university researchers took data from thousands of medical journal studies. And what they found was there was evidence that there's this gender bias that exists within science. It's kind of unsettling to realize that common medications that are prescribed all over the world are primarily designed for men. Drugs like antidepressants, cardiovascular medications, anti-seizure drugs, and analgesics. So therefore, women often have profound side effects as the medication doses are really too toxic for them. And the research did get published in the Journal of Biology of Sex Differences. Now, I thought that was interesting, Pastor Butch, there's sex differences. I mean, you know, isn't the world trying to tell us there's more than just male and female now?
The male and female won't be the same anymore. You know, when women trying to be a man for years, so you can't take a baby, get off the field, right? But anyway, right. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there's no differences, and men can enter women's sports and all that. Well, here's another quote. Yeah. Here's another quote from the study. It said, prescribing drugs as a one-size-fits-all approach that is based on male-dominated clinical trials is not safe and is not working for women. There are fundamental biological differences between men and women. End of quote.
I'm glad they told me that. I was confused. I'm glad they told me I was getting confused.
All right. Well, here's the toxic doses. So what the two universities found was that women overall receive higher concentrations of the drugs that produce a lot of accumulative effects of toxicity. So the drug lingers in their blood system as the body struggles to eliminate it. So these are also signs that you're going to have excessive burden on your female filtering organs like the liver and the kidneys. So the average physician prescribing medications for female patients is largely ignorant of this fact. Isn't that something?
Wow. It is something. That's
so
dangerous.
Here it is. I know it is. It's. I'm telling you, right? I mean, if I can find this stuff, the average doctor can find it. So here is, they're saying over 90% of the cases, women experience worse side effects such as nausea, headache, depression, cognitive deficits, seizures, hallucinations, mood swings and agitation, and cardiac events. One of the scientists was, you know, just going off saying that, you know, think of the sleep aids. And these women take sleep drugs and then they get up in the morning and they're trying to get their kids in the car to drive them to school and then go to work. They are not cognitively able to drive on the road, he said. Think about that.
Gee.
Yeah. Overall, they said, University of California said, overall, our research shows women suffer adverse drug reactions nearly twice as often as men do. And, you know, you might be asking, well, you know, what the heck's up with this? Why so few women in drug trials? Well, there's several reasons. Why are women not participating in the drug trials? Well, most drug trials tend to exclude mothers with young children due to the fact that they have little opportunity to participate in the trials away from home or away from work if they're working. Mm-hmm. So working females can't afford to take time off from work to participate in a lot of these drug trials. And also drug trials often attract unemployed males who have time to attend the trials, and they also need the money that the drug companies are paying them for their participation. So unemployed males is usually who they get. Another reason is that traditionally the drug companies did not want females and they were purposely excluded from the drug trials because females were seen as unstable. Isn't that something?
Oh, I'm not going to touch that one. I'm not going to touch that. Go ahead.
Well, here's another quote from a study. It says, for decades, women were excluded from clinical drug trials based in part on unfounded concerns that females with hormone fluctuations render the female too difficult or hysterical to work with.
Amen. Amen. I can amen that.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
Wendy.
Go ahead. Oh, I'll try to be quiet now.
Okay, so it wasn't until the 1990s that females in general, and even pregnant women, were allowed to come into the clinical trial area. A lot of them were kept out of the trials prior to that. So evidence also shows that female animals are also typically absent from the animal studies as well. So they don't want the females in the animal studies either.
Wow.
So, you know, so the more we discover about medical science and the more we wonder about how sound the art of medical science is, you know, I would think that common sense would tell you that smaller humans would require a lesser dose of any medication until proven otherwise. So perhaps medical science assumes that if the medicine doesn't kill you, well, then you'll be healed by it. You know, what doesn't kill you, right? So that exact actually sediment did get established by ancient civilizations like the Babylonians, where modern medicine actually established its roots from. They would take a snake and let it bite you, and if you didn't die from the toxic venom, then you were healed. That was their attitude.
Wow.
And I wanted to say, you know, Nimrod was in Babylon, right, Pastor Butch?
Right,
Nimrod.
Right.
And Babel, the Tower of Babel, and you know, we know what God did with that. So I came across some research, I hope it's accurate, maybe it's not, that Nimrod took his band of people, because he was considered in ancient history, I think, as the first conqueror. He even had slaves. He would conquer people and make them slaves, and they probably built the tower for him. So he was the first conqueror of, you know, writings in history, basically, that we have. And so then when God came in and took care of the tower thing and confused people with new languages, history seems to record that Nimrod took his band of people that he could still talk with, and they went to Nivea, and they established Nivea. Now, Nivea was a town where the Assyrians lived, right?
Right.
Anyway, so Nimrod is the ancestor of the Assyrians. And we remember what happened with Jonah. He didn't want to go preach to those people in Nineveh.
That's right.
You know,
because
they were really mean. They would catch Israelites and skin them alive, kind of thing. So they were really wicked people. But God still wanted to try to save them. And we know what happened with Jonah. He took a fish ride because he was resisting. But basically, do you know what happened after the Assyrians? Do you know who they actually become as a modern civilized people? Do you know who they are?
I should. Who was it?
Germans.
Uh-huh.
Germans. So, you know, a lot went wrong in World War II with the German scientists, right?
Right.
They experimented on babies and everything else.
That sounds familiar today, doesn't it?
Yeah, they don't have any shame. They didn't have any shame. So you got scientists out there that, you know, that do what they do because they can, basically. Yeah. I have found in medical science that, you know, you've got this interchanging of knowledge now internationally among scientists doing research, and there's very little ethical protocol or standards that are governing it. And even if the little standards and ethics that they have, there's no enforcement when someone breaks the rules. So there's no fines, there's no imprisonment, so these guys can pretty much do what they want. And if a country objects, then they just rent a boat and do it offshore. So we live in this age where people need to be more discerning and less trusting of medical science. You need
That's
to
true.
Do your homework and do your due diligence. So in the ancient world, they may have had their own philosophy about, let's see, healing. But you know what? God's philosophy on healing, hey, that got published in the Bible. See? And you can't go wrong with the healing power from our Creator's medicine, because He made the medicine. He made our bodies. He knows what the body needs. So male or female, those herbs work, period. And children as well. Now, of course, ancient healers and modern ones now, when you're using your herbal medicines, you do doses by weight for anybody under 100 pounds. That's just common sense to do that. So there's really a standard there within natural healing to observe that you just don't give a cookie-cutter dose to everybody. Okay. So if anybody wants to learn how, you know, they can be more empowered, we at Apothecary Herbs like to do that. We like to educate people to learn about the herb, and that way they have some knowledge and they can go help other people and kind of pass on the healing power. So it is sort of like learning to, you know, tie your shoe and brush your teeth. But once you do it, you do it. You just know how to do it. So don't be afraid of learning how to use God's natural medicines that he says are here for the service of man and the healing of the nation. From Genesis to Revelation, you can read that. And information is free. You can sign up for the newsletters at thepowerherbs.com. You could get their free catalog. Check them out. They have a lot of empowering immune-boosting formulas, metabolic strengtheners, and detoxing cleanses. So cleanse a nurse. You get the toxins out, Pastor Butch. You put the nutrition in, and you pretty much got most things whooped because the body is designed to regenerate and heal. Once you get the stumbling blocks of toxicity out of the way and you put the nutrition in that it needs, you pretty much have what, you know, God wanted you to have, and sure, you can do what the doctors can't. Really?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the best things about having you in the program is how much you enjoy what you do. You put some enthusiasm behind it. You just don't give facts and details. You really get into it. And Wendy, I think that's why everybody trusts you and enjoys having you on and being around you, because this is what you do for your life and ministry. So I think that's why you're so successful at it.
Well, this path of purpose was chosen for me, Pastor Butch.
Of course.
Yes, my original degree was in psychology, and then I was working in healthcare, and then my youngest son got sick, and from there, God showed me a better path, and so here we are today. So, which is fine, because I love it. Yes, I am dedicated. I am rewarded tremendously in seeing people do things and heal themselves and be ecstatic about it, and things that they're scared of, like cancer and COVID and stuff. There's herbs out here that have inhibitors to Ebola, dengue fever, all kinds of things. So God didn't leave us defenseless at all. But I thank you for your kind words, Pastor Butch. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have a free catalog for you. All you have to do is pick up the phone, give them a call. Their number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, or their website, thepowerherbs.com. And they're having a Christmas sale, Pastor Butch, 30% off, and it runs through the 26th.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, folks, you heard
good
that. Give her a call. Give Wendy a call. You'll not find any better person to work with, I guarantee you. Give them a call and see what they can do to help you and help all of us try to prepare ourselves and take care of our bodies, at least to try to prevent things that are out there today. Wendy, I want to thank you for joining us again. Go ahead.
I was going to say one of the biggest things that I find with people is they're allergic to their diet. That's why they're having some issues. And keep a food journal. You'll find out what you're allergic to, and if you just eliminate that, a lot of your woes will go away. So the body tells you what it doesn't like. We have to listen to it. Yep.
Amen. And with the food we get today in most places, it's no wonder we're allergic to it.
Absolutely.
A lot of it really isn't food.
Well, the biggest culprit is cow's milk, because we're not supposed to be consuming that. That's supposed to put 800 pounds on a calf really fast, but we're not supposed to eat it.
It's basically got a store of pasteurized and homogenized and all the stuff that's to it, right? Wendy Wisdom, thank you so much. Well, we'll see you next week.
Okay, take
care.
Talk
to you later.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Jeez Louise. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And I heard it was a great segment with Wendy Wilson joining us for the first part of the program. And it's always a pleasure to have her with us. She just brings so much great information. So, and Butch, what else did I miss?
Well, anything? You missed a lot. Wendy always does a great job. She does. She's always so
she
enthusiastic.
Does.
I will start out today on something. It's a lighter side, but I think it's a true story. And let's take a break from the serious stuff for a minute. I'm going to read to you an actual story. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
This is what we, who are age 70 or 80, which I know you're not close to, Melody, 70 or 80 years plus can look forward to. This is something that happened at an assisted living center. The people who lived there had small apartments, but they all ate at a central cafeteria. One morning, one of the residents didn't show up for breakfast, so my wife went upstairs and knocked on the door to see if anything was okay. Everything was okay. She could hear him through the door, and he said that he was running late and would be down shortly, so she went back to the dining area. An hour later, he still hadn't arrived, so she went back up towards his room but found him on the stairs. He was coming down the stairs, but was having a hard time. He had a death grip on the handrail and seemed to have trouble getting his legs to work right. She told him she was going to call an ambulance, but he told her no, he wasn't in any pain and just wanted to have his breakfast. So she helped him the rest of the way down the stairs, and he had his breakfast. When he tried to return to his room, he was completely unable to get up even the first stair step, so they called an ambulance for him. A couple of hours later, she called the hospital to see how he was doing. The reception said he was fine. He had just put both of his legs in one of his boxer shorts.
Oh, brother.
Oh, my gracious. So we have a lot to look forward to. But anyway, I know. That's a true story. Poor guy. I can only imagine. But anyway, I saw something on the lighter side. Real happenings are always more funny than things you make up, you know? And I thought that was not hilarious for him, but hilarious that I got to read it there. Anyway, so we'll get started. What, you want to add anything to anything that's been said so far?
No, that has left me speechless. I just...
Okay.
Left me without words.
That's unusual, but anyway, okay.
Hey, oh, there you go again. But the Fed's... Well, the Fed ended today their meetings, and they're going to aggressively dial back its bond buying program, and they expect 3 rate hikes next year. And they provided in the meetings that there was multiple indications that the run of the ultra-easy policy is going to come to a close, making aggressive policy moves in response to this rising inflation. For one, the central bank said it will accelerate the reduction of its monthly bond purchases. Remember, now it's only, what, 10? I guess they're gonna be buying $60 billion of bonds each month starting in January, half the level prior to the November taper, and $30 billion less than it had been buying in December. The Fed was tapering by $15 billion a month in November, doubled that in December. Then they will accelerate the reduction further come 2022. After that wraps up in late winter, early spring, the central bank expects to start raising interest rates, which they held steady at this week's meeting. Projections released Wednesday indicate that the Fed officials see as many as 3 rate hikes coming in 2022, with 2 in the following year and 2 more in 2024. Economic developments and changes in the outlook warrant this evolution of monetary policy, which will continue to provide appropriate support for the economy, Jerome Powell said. The Fed Open Markets Committee moves approved unanimously represents a substantial adjustment to policy that has been the loosest in its 108-year history. The post-meeting statement noted the impact from inflation. Now, Butch, if this has been the loosest monetary policy in 108-year history, does anybody get how severe and how dysfunctional the system is?
I think a lot of them do. A lot of them maybe are figuring something out, but they don't know what's causing it. They understand something's dysfunctional, but they don't know what it is. Yeah, they don't.
Well,
they
we
don't
know what it.
We do.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
But I mean, it goes to show you just how it's not working. Yeah. I mean, if you have to put that amount of money in over 100 years, what makes people think it's going to be better in 120 years? It continues to get worse.
Well,
and nothing that they do improves situations. It just allows them to continue.
Well, as long as they keep printing fiat currency, it can't get any better. They can't fix it. It's impossible.
Yeah, it's impossible.
I'm going to share an article in a minute along those lines about real inflation that ties in with that. That's a very powerful article by Phoenix Capital Research. Very good job they did on it, by the way. But I'll share that in a bit.
Well, the committee also reduced its forecast for economic growth this year, seeing GDP rising 5.5 for 2021 compared with the 5.9 that they had just indicated back in September. They also revised their forecasts in subsequent year, raising 2022 growth to 4% from 3.8 and lowering 2023 to 2.2%. So let me get this straight. So in 2021, they're actually increasing. But then I guess things aren't going to be so hot in 2023 that they're lowering. I don't know. It's just really kind of funny.
It doesn't make any sense. Well, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
The best it does is delay the inevitable, but it really doesn't fix anything.
Both policy moves came in response to the escalating inflation, which is running at its highest level in 39 years. For consumer prices, wholesale prices in November jumped 9.6%, the fastest on record. Okay?
Yep.
In a sign that inflation pressures are becoming more ingrained and broad-based. But, hey, Fed officials, you know, we know that they have long stressed that inflation is transitory, which Powell has defined as unlikely to leave a lasting imprint on the economy. He and other central bankers, as well as Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, have stressed that prices are booming due to pandemic relief or related factors. You know, they know how to spin the spin.
Yes, they do. They do.
Let's see if there's anything else interesting in there. It really isn't a surprise to anything. The markets were going down for a while. Then they had a reversal.
Yep.
And I'm sure you went over the markets with the Dow being up over 383 points. NASDAQ was down over 1%, ended up over 2%. I don't know what they like about Fed pulling back the easy money.
Nothing affects the market. Nothing affects the market anymore. Negative, positive, nothing affects it, seems like. And even the European markets are pretty much level, nothing either way to speak of. But nothing affects the markets in America anymore. Congress passed raised the debt ceiling again by 2.5 trillion. So maybe that was a good news. Said it, and it barely passed the House, 229-209, and only but one vote in the Senate, 50-49. But aren't there 100 senators, if I counted right last time? And 50-49 is only 99. Where's the other guy? Or lady? There's 100 senators, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they voted 54-49 against this debt ceiling hike. Where's the other gentleman, the other lady? 50-49 is only 99. Who wasn't there to vote?
Yeah. See, I'm sure we could look it up and see who it was.
I would like to know who abstained, maybe, because of political reasons. I'd like to know that. I'd like to know what Manchin did. We're going to talk about Manchin in a minute. They're calling him President Manchin now. I'm not making it up. They really are. But 50-49, somebody didn't vote. It could have been a deadlock. And then, so of course, we know that the Democrats would still got it. But that's kind of odd to me that somebody didn't vote. But the debt ceiling has been raised, and it said it should carry us past the 2022 election. Wow. What a coincidence. It'll carry them through the midterm elections. That wasn't planned. That's a coincidence. Anyway, brother, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's taken them through the midterm elections. That was a political move, obviously, but it was close. I just like to know what happened to the other senator. And folks, if you like the debt ceiling increase, you're going to love this. Federal debt equals $287,859 per income tax paying household. So if you're an income tax paying household, you're about $300,000 in debt. The federal debt. As Congress worked in recent days to increase the legal limit on the federal debt, the Treasury kept that debt artificially frozen at approximately $28.9 trillion, where it stood at the beginning of this week. With that limit lifted, the federal debt will take a jump upward, then keep steadily climbing, constantly increasing the burden on future taxpayers. Now, folks, just like kid ourselves, we're not going to pay that. We cannot pay that. We'll never get it paid. It ain't going to work. But anyway, in 2018, according to the last complete annual report on individual income tax returns published by the Internal Revenue Service, there were 124,240 households in the United States that filed what the IRS called a taxable return. A taxable and non-taxable classification of a return for the report is determined by the presence of total income tax explained by the IRS. Total income tax, it said, was the sum of income tax after credits. In other words, 100,424,240 households that filed a taxable return in 2018 actually paid income taxes to the federal government. If you divide the 28,908,004,847,445 in debt the federal government owed before the debt limit was lifted by the 100 million or so taxpayers, works out $287,859 we all owe as taxpayers. Those are paid taxes. I'll owe to pay the national debt. So, Melody, you write me a check, and I'll get mine out tomorrow.
Okay. Our printing presses just like they do.
Absolutely. What a ridiculous statement. Who cares if we owe $300,000? Who cares if we owe $3 million? We're still going to be paid. You follow what I'm saying?
Of course
I
do.
Why didn't they come right out? I mean, it maybe opened some people's eyes how reckless our government had been for years. But it's not going to be paid no matter what the amount is on that. No, how can an average family pay $300,000 in taxes just to catch up the Fed? They'll go further in debt next year. What'll be the point in it? Any comments on that?
No.
Gee, I mean, I'm doing pretty good then, maybe. Okay.
And yes, you are.
And now that we owe about $300,000 per tax-paying family on the debt, this is good news. Afghans brought to the U.S. offered free housing, food stamps, and $2,300 checks. Wow, why can't I be an illegal? Go ahead.
That's all?
That's all so far, but we're not done. Afghans brought to the United States by President Joe Biden's administration are being offered free housing, food stamps, and are entitled to nearly $2,300 in payments and new report details. Mostly thanks to Democrats and Republicans, funding Biden's massive Afghan resettlement to the sum of more than $13 billion. And guess who's paying for that? Afghans in the U.S. are being offered free housing to be resettled in states that do not have a large Afghan population, according to the Washington Post. In addition, the Post reports that Afghans who have yet to be matched with a refugee contractor are being temporarily offered food stamps while each receives nearly $2,300 in federal aid. We bring them in, put them in communities where they don't have many of them, and I'm not picking on Afghans. I'm nothing against them personally. But these people right over here, they didn't go through a process to become an American citizen, no more than the illegal ones did coming across the border. But again, we're going to pay them. We're going to give them free housing and food stamps. Now, I got to ask a question. Is the housing and the food really free, or is somebody going to pay for that? That's a fair question, isn't it, Melody?
You mean free isn't free?
Yeah. I mean, free. It says free housing and food stamps. It means free. Nobody had to build a place. Nobody's going to make you money off of it. Nobody's paying for the food. It all just appears out of thin air, just like money does. Oh, the insanity of this is just unbelievable.
By the way, Butch,
yeah.
I was looking to see who did not vote, and it was Senator Loomis, Republican out of Wyoming. He is sick and is recovering in Wyoming, did not vote.
Okay, well, I understand being sick. I understand that. But, 50-50, I would assume that someone would
vote. I don't understand why they can't vote.
From where they are.
From where they are.
I don't know. That's a good question. If something that important, you'd think you would, wouldn't you?
You'd think.
That's very important. Not that it made a lot of difference, but at least made a tie out of it. But that's just... I don't know. That's just where we are. And I just wondered if... I assume Manchin voted to extend the debt ceiling, obviously, because 50 senators voted for it. Now, there's 52 Democrats in the House, and I believe that in the Senate, I believe it is. So I would say he voted for it. That'd be kind of interesting to find out, too. Well, the next article I'm going to read is 1 year...
Well, he would vote for that. He just doesn't want to vote for the Build Back Better.
I know that. But I wonder how he went for sure, because... Raising the debt ceiling makes us look like we're staying out of debt. We're paying our debts when actually we're not paying our debts, folks. We're going further in debt. Oh, my. Anyway, it's break time.
What? No.
It's break time.
We just started.
I know.
All right. 1-800-375-4188. Discount gold and silver. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
I met a man who lives in Tennessee, and he was heading for Pennsylvania and some homemade pumpkin pie. From Pennsylvania, folks are traveling down to Dixie's sunny shore. From Atlantic to Pacific,
gee, the traffic is terrific. Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. 'Cause no matter how far away you roam.
That sounded pretty cheery. I guess you're there, Melody.
Yes, it was. I just love Christmas music, and the more I can hear, the better happier I am.
Todd, keep playing it. Keep it in good mood. Okay.
And I just want to let the listeners know when we have, when Christmas comes, that we're going to be closed. We're taking a break also from the program. So we'll be doing a lot of replays, but there will be a lot of Christmas music played throughout the hour. Some patriotic Christmas music and so forth. And, maybe even an Andre Bocelli hour.
And that'll be what days?
Well, we're going to be, I'm not quite sure yet. We certainly will be closed the 24th for sure. Right. And probably the 23rd.
Okay. All right.
And then also on the 30th and the 31st, we will be closed. Of course, I'm always here working, so. You know, if you have $1 million you want to invest, call me. I'll return your call. And that's what we do. But we'll, for the most part, be closed and have replays for the program. So that is our holiday schedule.
Okay. I'm sorry. You go ahead.
No, that's our holiday schedule. So what do you have next?
Well, first off, I want to say my son Patrick got his order today of medals. And he was tickled pink.
Fantastic.
He was tickled pink. Folks, my son even orders Melody. That's true. So, see, my whole family trust her. But now, different article. And the reason I bring this up because this is a senator from West Virginia. 1 year of President Manchin. For the Democratic agenda, all roads go through West Virginia. It kind of rhymes, doesn't it? But anyway, his entourage vanished, said the reporter. Maybe they snuck out the back, said the photographer. To Tuesday in early December, Senator Joe Manchin, the flow-be-haired centrist whose vote in the evenly divided Senate could make or break any given deal, had been spotted ducking to Senate Majority Leader Charles E. Schumer's office exactly at 6 a.m. That's a conspicuous time and place for a private tete-a-tete just before the Senate's Tuesday lunches when the Capitol Hill press would swarm the corners in search of scooplets about the fate of Democrats' social spending bill. Sure enough, the press has taken notice, and now they wait. Waiting around for Manchin has become something of a pastime in the nation's capital. Hill reporters track his movements on the Senate floor, staking out his office, and sometimes for hours, and then orbiting around him like electrons as he walks the halls of Congress. On a recent Monday morning, Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican from Alaska, had bumped into a gaggle the way to her office, which is near Manchin's. Why are you guys joining here now? She asked them. It's Monday, you know, and he's not going to get here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, what a job. Sometimes I wish I wasn't chained to this one spot, says Burgess Everett, Politico's chief Manchin correspondent. But at the same time, this is the best place to get the news of the day because it's what everyone's interested in. the power and spotlight has earned the gentleman from West Virginia a new nickname. Mr. President, Senator Mitt Romney once said, greeting Manchin in the Capitol Hill elevator. It looks like we have a President Manchin instead of President Biden, Faiz Shaikar, a close advisor of Senator Bernie Sanders, told the New York Times. Maybe we should say President Manchin at this point, then Fox News anchor Chris Wallace chuckled on the air. So apparently Manchin's getting some attention on the Capitol, and I don't know he's all that tickled about it, but he's getting it anyway. Whether that's good or bad, I guess it remains to be seen. Does he have political plans beyond the Senate? Who knows? I don't know. But I know he was a decent governor here, Melly Nutt, and he had some ideas that I didn't come much for. He's become a centralist also on gun control and other things. So, and that doesn't fly in West Virginia too well. When he kind of went that way, he learned his lesson pretty quickly, and he backed off on some of those things. So just thought I'd share that. He must have a little bit of influence to call him Mr. President. Now, back to what you mentioned earlier about the inflation rate, because this is article really, it's a little bit lengthy, but it's worth the read. Because I don't think that we shouldn't pay much attention to the numbers that the government gives us, obviously, because they will lie to us. I know that shocks you, but, you know, but real inflation is 9%, and the Fed thinks it can stop by raising rates to 2%. And there it is, real inflation, 9%. I've noted many times in the past that the official inflation measure, the Consumer Price Index, or CPI, is gimmicked to the point of fiction. The reason for this is simple. This is the number everyone looks at. And if it reflected reality, Americans would realize that the quality of life in this country has been in decline for the last 40 years. At least real costs of living have dramatically outpaced the rise in incomes. Remember, if incomes do not rise at the same pace as inflation, your real cost of living is rising. Ever wonder why back in the 1950s most families got by on one income, while today both parents work and most families have massive mortgages, over 10,000 credit card debt, and 50,000 student loans? Wonder no more. What does this have to do with today? Well, the official inflation data point, the CPI, claims inflation is at 6.8%. This is a 40-year high. But because CPI is gimmicked to understate inflation, the real rate of inflation is much, much worse. If you don't believe me, take a look at the Producer Price Index, PPI. The CPI is less known, less watched, but more accurate cousin. Unlike CPI, which is crafted by bean counters at the government, PPI is based on actual information from actual producers of goods and services who must adjust their costs based on inflation or lose profits in the real economy, which is why the latest PPI data point in a catastrophically bad, clocking it at 9.6 year-over-year for the month of November. Yes, 9.6 is almost double digits. Suffice it to say, the Fed is way behind the curve on inflation. How will the Fed need to raise rates to stop this, 2%, 4% more? More importantly, for the financial system, how will the amount of debt that was issued based on interest rates of zero going to react to the Fed's tightening monetary conditions? Now, folks, this is interesting. It really is. Some $2 trillion in corporate debt was issued in the U.S. last year alone. The U.S. government issued another $5-plus trillion, so right off the bat, you've got $7-plus trillion in debt that was issued while rates were effectively at zero. How is this going to adjust to rates at 1 or 2% higher? For bonds with yields this low, every time the Fed raises rates, there's a dramatic impact. Remember, the yield on U.S. Treasuries represent the risk-free rate, a return against which the future financial system is valued. So when the Fed raises rates, that $7-plus trillion must adjust accordingly. This means those bond prices fall and their yields rise. And if they rise enough, the investors begin to default. And we're just getting started here. As Lawrence McDonald recently noted, globally there is 30-plus trillion more debt with sub minus 2% yields than there was the last time the Fed attempted to raise rates. How is all this debt going to handle higher rates? What if the Fed has to raise rates way over 2% to stop inflation? What happens to the mountain of debt that was created based on yields being a zero? If you think the Fed can navigate this successfully, I would like to point out that the Fed wasn't able to deflate the tech bubble nor the housing bubble without creating full-scale crises. What are the odds the Fed can successfully deflate the current everything bubble, which is exponentially bigger, larger than the first two? Now, that article pretty much tells it like it is.
You know, it really does. And it just goes to show that, you know, and they've done it before. Every recession that we've gone through, they brought us out with bailouts and additional programs to keep the system going. And we head into another recession and they do the same. And the hole just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they can try and close it by raising rates. They can try and close it and doing this and that. But that just creates another event to where the hole gets bigger. It doesn't never stays where they need it to. And it's just a joke. You know, this was all an experiment for the Fed to try and control the economy so there wasn't any booms and busts. But you know what? Booms and busts are good to some degree if you let them happen, because it takes the weak people out. It takes the weak businesses, the weak parts of the economy out, and the strong, you know, just kind of gets stronger. And I mean, we even see it in the gold market. You know, everybody buys when the prices go up, but as soon as they pull back, who are the ones that sell? You know, it's the non-believers, the ones that are just going in there for the ride, thinking it's going to go to the moon, and it, you know, we have a little bit of a pullback. They don't understand why they bought it. They just bought it on the promises of someone that it was going to go higher, and you know, they begin. It's the same thing. It's so, yeah, there's nothing the Fed can do. They can play their little games. They got the global, you know, the global central banks and governments to go along. I guess we are leading that train. I mean, we're in the front of that. Everybody else follows us on the economy, but there will never be an improvement.
No, it can't be. Not as long as we have fiat currency, there cannot be. Even with real money, Melody, like you said, there are ups and downs. But the money stayed pretty much constant.
Yes.
Businesses maybe got hurt once in a while, but you said weak ones.
But it came around, yes.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. So there's a big difference here.
And you know what? The funny thing about it is Kamala Harris, I think it was yesterday, I talked about this morning on Beth Ann's program, and I think it's important. I mean, nobody really listens or cares about what Kamala Harris says, neither do I. But I think what she said is kind of important if you look at it in the right way. There was a forum that was hosted by Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. And supposedly this forum was about to, she wanted to discuss proactive ways to increase access to financial systems and capital for racial minorities. I mean, after all, Butch, you know, it's just, you know, old white men who have access to the financial system,
exactly.
You know.
Yes.
But what she did say is she says it's time for a restructuring of the economic system. Now, she says it's to ensure equitable distribution. That's hogwash. I think they know the time is coming for the restructuring of our financial system. And this is just, it's interesting because they're just even talking about restructuring. Forget the reasons why they come up. That's just the warm and fuzzy excuses that they're going to use to sell it to their Democratic followers. You know, it's all a warm and fuzzy, bleeding heart liberal pitch. But the problem is it's the restructuring. And I think that's important because we know what's going to happen. We've been talking about them restructuring our financial system for ever since we've been on the fiat dollar. And we've gotten to the point where if the dollar loses its status, and you still got to remember the dollar is still, 60, 70, 80% the world reserve currency. It's not that easy, but it won't take much in order to reverse the position and to have the other governments and central banks lose their faith in the U.S. dollar. We've seen it happen. We've seen it happening on a slow basis. You know, from various governments turning their nose at the dollar. We've seen it with Russia and many other countries that are doing this. But even though she is, you know, I never pay any attention to, I can't even, she just irritates me. When just looking at her, she irritates me. I shouldn't say that. It's not a nice thing to say.
But it's true.
Her cackle, I can't handle her cackle. But just listen to what some of these people say, and that's where we're heading. And it tells me we're closer than I think what most people think.
I think you're right.
Because this restructuring, this restructuring, as I said this morning on the, it's already written, it's already done, it's already created. Just like the Patriot Act was created, just like the NDAA was created prior to any thought of what time it was going to be used. Obamacare was created. You know, they just don't get these things done overnight. I mean, a lot of them are done without being read, I agree, but I think this new taking us into the next, I don't know what you want to call it, the next program or the next sector, the next part of their globalization of our country and monetary system. Our monetary system has to be rewritten. And
as a matter of fact, it's already been written once. Read the Constitution.
Well, I get that, but it's gonna.
Yeah, I know.
So I thought that was important what she said.
Well, at least for once, maybe she made a little bit of sense. And again, I'm surprised, but I don't think she even herself knew what she's talking about. She may have made some points, but I don't think she understood the depth of what she was saying. Actually, but again, you can't
again,
change. Go ahead.
No. But the important part wasn't what she said about the, you know, the key words there was the restructuring. And you're right. She she might be thinking that it's all about, you know, racial minorities. And are we out of time?
We're out of time.
No.
Yep. You missed the first segment, remember?
We can keep talking.
Oh, we can. Yeah. Nobody's going to hear us, but we can.
I want to thank each and every one of our listeners for joining us today, and we will be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. That's too bad.